Good, brilliant. Well done, Ben. Excellent work, really good. I know you put a massive amount into that, and the lockdown's been quite creatively good space for you. But bringing something right through to getting it published is a huge, huge task. So yeah, we're really pleased and proud of what you've done there. And so yeah, if you can get along to Books on the Hill on the 18th and just support Ben, I know, when you're putting these things out and you're sitting there at your table, you just need some people to turn up. So let's do that, and let's see this launched really as successfully and well as part of our family, things we do together as a family. Other family news on that kind of note is that the Butterfields, Zena and Andrew, have become grandparents. So Tristan and Emma have had a little girl called Rose Olive. And I think it was on Thursday night, Wednesday, Thursday, somewhere time around then. And Holland has become an auntie, and everyone is really super happy, and we're super super happy for them as well. So yeah, it's that's lovely news, and so I'm sure we will be getting updates and more news to follow on that one. But that kind of brings me to a little bit of what I wanted to talk about today, and the song. I put it onto actually the playlist. If you'd watched the playlist, it was a bit further down on the website. But there's a song which is about sweet. It's the line is sweet communion of a kiss, and I just thought, as we're taking communion today, I want to look at the second part, the kiss. Just take a few moments to think about that, because the thing about a new baby is that you want to get them in your arms. I mean, Zena and Andrew are, apart from a little bit of kind of, waiting time as mum and dad get comfortable, they're first in line to be the ones who are going to get to cuddle and hold this new baby, Rose. And there's something very intimate about holding a small child. They smell special, you can't help but kind of cuddle them and nuzzle them and want to kiss them. I mean, I'm not sure how that all works with social distancing, but that's what you do. That's what newborns, that's what unconditional love looks like. That's what just being so full of joy over a new baby. If you haven't or haven't experienced that for a while, you go through these stages of life where sometimes you get to cuddle babies, and other times you don't get to cuddle babies, and then you have to make do with pets and cats. I mean, I pick my cat up. Those of you who know me well will know that I pick up my cat and dump him upside down and cuddle him and hold on to him, and yeah, if he's lucky, I give him a kiss as well. So that's acceptable maybe for a cat. Trying to cuddle Boris might for the Regans might be a little bit of a challenge when you've got a very boisterous golden retriever, but I'm sure they have those moments. So we all know what we're talking about when we're talking about that intimacy, that of a kiss, of that the sense of what that kind of portrays. I don't know about you, but being kind of a Brit abroad is sometimes a bit of a challenge, because there are certain kissing protocols that you're not fully aware of, and I'm constantly getting myself in the wrong thing. I've got over the one where you kind of put out your hand to shake hands, and someone's giving you a hug, and you kind of jab them in the middle of the stomach and get all tangled up. So I'm kind of more prepared than that. But I think Germany is more traditionally kind of a two cheek on each side, kiss on the cheek either side. But the Dutch tend to do it three times, left, right, left, and you can get yourself into all sorts of things. Do I kiss? Don't I kiss? How do I do it? Oh, I mean, I recently met someone who I didn't know very well, kind of not a complete stranger, but someone who I wouldn't say was at all familiar. And I thought that they kind of came towards me and they're obviously going to give me some sort of hug, or I assumed a hug. So I went for a hug, and of course they were going for a kiss, and so I ended up kissing their ear, and it was all very awkward. So I kind of thought, right, okay, remember this next time. They're a kisser. And so the next time I met them, which was a number of months later, having not seen them in between, you know, they come in again. This time I think I'm prepared for this. I've got this kiss on the cheek. Boom, straight on the lips. I mean, I was like, I don't know what to do now. Where do I go from this? This is not someone I know very well. So yeah, it's a kind of minefield out there. But there's something about a kiss. And now we're in this sort of social distancing. Actually, a kiss is even more exclusive. It's something that you know you can only do with those who are the nearest and dearest to you, because you're just not allowed to get anywhere near anyone else. And I don't know how that's going to work itself out, but yeah, suddenly that close proximity and intimacy is something very unusual. And yet that's what God wants. That's what he wants with us today, is that communion of a kiss, that communion of face-to-face closeness. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, it says that God saved you by his grace. It says you can't take any credit for it. It is a gift of God. And actually, something of kind of being born again, of becoming to know God is it feels a lot like that. You know, you're just a newborn again. You're in his arms. You know it's all him. You know it's grace. You know it's his love towards you. There's nothing you can do. But very soon, and the next verse in that passage soon starts to talk about, you can't get it through works. You can't work your way up to an intimate relationship or a connection with God. It has to be something that you can't boast about, that you've done, that you accept that he's done. And again, part of that, the kiss is that you've got to be in good standing with someone to have a kiss. I'm not giving away too many secrets to say that, you know, there are times when Tanya and I might be, you know, coexisting quite peacefully in the house, but still maybe not quite on completely in the frame of mind to want to kiss each other. You know, we're okay, we're not annoying each other too much, but certainly when you know actually your relationship is in good standing and in good fettle, when actually you do want to kiss each other and you do want to share a kiss, because it is that seal of friendship, it is that seal of intimacy, it is that seal of saying, you know, we're okay. And so today God wants to give that to you. He wants to say, we're okay. It was never anything to do with you, it was always to do with me, and we're okay. Some of us need to hear that afresh. We might not have had a lockdown where we've spent all of our time reading the Bible and catching up on all the things we said I did. We might feel starting to feel a bit distant from God, but he's not distant, and he's never distant, and he's always there. That's something we start to make up ourselves. And even as you go on in life with your Christian walk, you can start to lose the understanding that it's by grace that we've been saved. It's his mercy and grace extended to us. I mean, even the other day I heard someone who was obviously a Christian saying, well, I thought that God might be punishing me for this, that and the other. And I thought, look, I do understand that, but it's so wrong, and it's so not what the New Testament says, and it's so not what God revealed himself to be through Jesus. His arms are extended to us. He has done everything that we can have this face-to-face connection. You know, some of us want to try and get our value out of the things we're doing for him. Oh God, I thank you so much for saving me. Now I'm going to work really, really hard for the rest of my life to try and pay you back. Kind of that's not how it works. If every present you received, and you know, I receive presents, and what I say is thank you. I don't start to kind of get full of anguish about how I'm going to return that present or pay back an equivalent amount or find out how much, because kind of you've got to be ready to receive. And today, as we're taking communion, you've got to be refreshed in your understanding that we're receiving his body broken for us. We're receiving his blood shed for us. We're receiving his sacrifice, his death, so that we might live. And it's a gift. So you just say thank you. And that's all that you're required to do. Just accept it and say thank you. Communion, even in the dictionary, means intimate fellowship or intimate rapport with one another. So it's you know, people understand the word communion as well as all the religious connotations to understand that. And you know, some of you might be saying, well, kind of, I'm not sure kissing is a very biblical thing, you know, we don't see very much in the Bible. Well, funnily enough, there's more kissing in there than you expect. I mean, if you take aside the some of the books of the Old Testament where there's a lot of intimacy described, even in the New Testament, Paul says on four occasions, greet each other with a holy kiss. And you can kind of fudge it, but actually the culture there was, if you were a friend, if you had a, if there was nothing between you, then you would kiss. Not just men and women, but men and men would greet each other with a kiss. So I read somewhere just recently, someone saying, look, there's two people left who, male friends who, when they greet me, they kiss me. And he said, you know, it's something special, and it's something that says something about our relationship. Jesus, it says in one of the stories of the New Testament, was invited to go to a Pharisee's house. And later on, as he's there in the party, a lady comes and takes a very expensive jar of perfume and breaks it and fills the house with fragrance and anoints Jesus. And the people who are there, and particularly Simon, who's the host, says, oh, you know, this is such a waste of money. We could have sold this to give the money to the poor. And Jesus says, Simon, you didn't kiss me when I came to your house. And in that, he was kind of saying, you know, you brought me here maybe under false pretenses. You know, this wasn't as friendly an invitation as you made it out to be. And that's an interesting point that Jesus talks about. And then, yeah, that goes on to say, don't let there be anything between you as Christian brothers and sisters. Be able to be open to extend that holy kiss to one another. It speaks of forgiveness and not having anything and no barriers between us. There's a scripture that just at the end of 2 Corinthians, I haven't put these in, but you'll just have to kind of get them. 2 Corinthians 13, right at the end of this letter, chapter 12. Well, let's go from verse 11. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. And then you get this, which we understand as the grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You know, the grace of Jesus, he's a friend. He's there as a friend. You don't have to persuade him or any of the Trinity to work on your behalf. They are working on your behalf, and they're just saying, like we hear in Isaiah, go this way, go that way, it's going to be better for you if you go this way. They've already made the way. They're just trying to steer you into it. You're not having to persuade them to get involved. They are involved. And then, you know, understanding the Father's love and the love of God, that's the love of the Father that we see demonstrated through Jesus, who came to show us what that love looks like, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, a friend, a counselor, a guide, And all three of the Trinity are with you and on your side and face to face and extending that communion of a kiss. So we're going to take, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take the bread and the wine and the emblems and just share them together, and just kind of do that together. And I thought maybe I'll read some lyrics of a song, and you know, as well, which I think will help. But first let me pray, and then we'll take communion together. So Father, I thank you that your face is shining towards us, that your smile is towards us, that your eyes are lighting up, just like Zena and Andrews are going to be when they see Rose and when they look into that little baby's eyes, and they're going to have a face full of grace, of mercy, of love, of wanting the best for that child. And that is your look towards us today, whether we believe it or not, it's true. And so, Father, I thank you for that. Jesus, I thank you that you've done everything to make a way where there wasn't a way, to give us that free gift of your grace, that nothing we have done or can do can get us closer or further away from you. And Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are constantly guiding us and trying to steer us into the paths which are the best for us, which will do us good, which will lead us out of trouble and into places that are where we can be refreshed and made whole and find out who you created us to be. So Father, I thank you that in you we find a friend the like no other. In Jesus' name. Amen.